Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Today, we're diving into one of America's most perplexing and heart-wrenching mysteries, the story of Bobby Dunbar. This tale spans decades, intertwines the lives of two families, and leaves us questioning what we know about identity, family, and truth. Imagine a sunny afternoon in 1912, a young boy playing near the shimmering waters of Swayze Lake in Louisiana. In an instant, he vanishes, sending his family and community into a frantic search. 8 months later, a child believed to be Bobby Dunbar is found, bringing a wave of relief to his grieving parents. But as the dust settles, whispers of doubt begin to surface. Was this child truly Bobby Dunbar, or had another boy been swept into the story of mistaken identity? A missing child found, a family reunited, but was it really their son? This is the story of Bobby Dunbar, a story where the quest for truth is as elusive as the boy himself. Stay with us as we unravel the mystery, examining the facts, the fiction, and the emotional toll it took on everyone involved. Welcome to another episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where the realms of true crime, the supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Jordan.
Let's dive right in. Our story begins in a small, close-knit town of Opelousas, Louisiana. Picture it, a community where everyone knows each other, where children play freely, and where the idea of danger seems almost foreign. But on that fateful day in August 1912, the Dunbar's family world was turned upside down. Percy and Leslie Dunbar, like any other parents, were devoted to their four-year-old son, Bobby. That day, they set off for a family outing at Swayze Lake, never imagining the nightmare that would follow. Little Bobby, full of life and curiosity, was playing near the water's edge, his laughter mingling with the sounds of nature. But in the blink of an eye, he was gone. Panic set in as the Dunbars and fellow picnickers scoured the area. The serene lake quickly became a scene of chaos and desperation. The search for Bobby Dunbar became a massive effort, drawing in the entire community and eventually capturing national attention. From the depths of the lake to the surrounding forest, every inch of the area was combed, but there was no sign of Bobby. Days turned into weeks, and hope began to wane. Yet the Dunbars clung to the belief that their son was still out there somewhere. And then 8 months later, a miracle, or so it seemed. A boy matching Bobby's description was found in Mississippi in the company of a traveling handyman named William Cantrell Walters. This discovery sparked a wave of emotions and set the stage for a dramatic reunion and an even more dramatic court battle. But as the story unfolded, so did doubts. Was this really Bobby Dunbar? Or had the Dunbars' desperate wish to find their son led to a tragic case of mistaken identity? So yeah, this is a lot like our last episode, and it's scary how much this actually happens.
That's what I was thinking. Like, good God, how common can this possibly be? But apparently it's fairly common. Also, I'm calling it right now, that boy was eaten by crocodiles.
We may know, or at least partly of it. But yeah, Louisiana, definitely crocodiles would be a very strong possibility.
That's just my thoughts on it. I don't know where the story's actually going for the most part, but that's just my thoughts.
And if you guys listened to the last episode of Walter Collins, exactly why I did this episode, because Jordan did not know anything about this one either.
I knew more about this one than I did the other episode.
Yeah, I guess technically, but anyways, it's going to be a good episode.
Yeah, it is.
Let's travel back to the early 20th century to the small, idyllic town of Opelousas, Louisiana. Picture a place where everyone knows your name, where front porches are gathering spots for evening conversations, and children roam freely under the watchful eyes of the entire community. It's a town that epitomizes Southern hospitality and charm, nestled among lush landscapes and winding bayous. In this tranquil setting lived the Dunbar family, Percy Dunbar, a successful businessman known for his integrity, and his wife, Lessie, a doting mother with a heart full of love for their two sons. Their youngest, Bobby, was a bright and adventurous four-year-old with curly blonde hair and a smile that could light up a room. Life for the Dunbars was filled with joy and promise, but it was about to take a dark and unexpected turn. On a warm August morning in 1912, the Dunbars decided to take a family trip to Swayze Lake, a popular spot for picnics and leisurely afternoons. The sun was shining, the water sparkled under its rays, and the air was filled with the sounds of nature. It was the perfect day for an outing. Bobby, excited and full of energy, was playing near the water's edge, his small feet splashing in the shallows. His parents watched from a distance, chatting and enjoying the serene surroundings, their hearts full of contentment. But in the blink of an eye, everything changed. One moment, Bobby was there, and the next, he was gone. Lessie and Percy rushed to the spot where they last saw their son, their hearts pounding with fear. They called his name, their voices growing more desperate with each unanswered call. Other picnickers joined the search, forming a line to scour the area. The once peaceful lake now echoed with cries of panic and disbelief. The search for Bobby Dunbar quickly escalated. As night fell, the community of Opelousas banded together, determined to find the missing boy. Lanterns flickered in the darkness as volunteers combed through the dense woods surrounding the lake, their hopes buoyed by this thought that Bobby might be hiding somewhere nearby. Authorities were soon called in, and the scale of the search expanded. The lake was dredged, its murky depths revealing nothing but the silence of the unknown. Every possible hiding place was checked, and every lead, no matter how small, was followed. Days turned into weeks, and the reality of Bobby's disappearance began to sink in. The once vibrant household of the Dunbars was now shrouded in a cloud of sorrow and uncertainty. Lessie and Percy clung to each other, their hearts aching and the void left by their beloved son. The community, too, felt the weight of the loss, their collective spirit dampened by the shadow that had fallen over them. But amidst the heartache, there remained a glimmer of hope. The Dunbars were determined not to give up. They believed with every fiber of their being that Bobby was still out there, and so they continued to search. Their love for their son driving them forward, even as the days grew darker and the nights colder. And then, just when hope seemed to be fading, came a breakthrough. 8 months after Bobby's disappearance, a child matching his description was found in the company of a traveling handyman. The discovery would lead to a reunion filled with joy and relief, but also questions that would linger for decades.
I still am going to say I still think crocodiles got him. That's just my personal opinion. He was over by water. I'm sorry. That's just what happens. I don't like being over by water. That's gator territory.
Especially in Louisiana.
Exactly.
And I will say that this story is a lot like the Walter Collins, except for it's almost completely different, if that makes sense.
It's a lot like it, but it's very different. And excellent.
Once I get to the end of the story, I think you will agree.
Yeah. It's got similar circumstances, but everything else is different.
And now we're going to get into the investigation. As the days turned into weeks and then months, the story of Bobby Dunbar's disappearance captured the nation's attention. Newspapers from coast to coast featured the missing boy on their front pages. His cherubic face, framed by curls and eyes full of innocence, became a symbol of both hope and heartache. Reporters chronicled every twist and turn. Their articles bring in the plight of the Dunbar family into living rooms across America. The story sparked a nationwide manhunt, with people from all walks of life joining the effort to find Bobby. Multiple sightings of the boy were reported in towns and cities, from train stations to remote farms. Tips poured in. Each lead brought a renewed surge of hope, only to be followed by crushing disappointment. Desperate families across the nation and their own missing children clung to the possibility that Bobby's return might signal a miracle for them as well. Multiple sightings of the boy were reported in towns and cities, from train stations to remote farms. Tips poured in. Each lead brought a renewed surge of hope, only to be followed by crushing disappointment. Desperate families across the nation with their own missing children clung to the possibility that Bobby's return might signal a miracle for them as well. But the Dunbars were not alone in their search. Law enforcement agencies, private detectives, and even ordinary citizens were galvanized by the story. Search parties scoured the countryside, checking every abandoned building, every hidden corner, hoping to find the missing boy. And then, 8 months after Bobby disappeared, a breakthrough came from the most unlikely of places. In April 1913, a child matching Bobby's description was found in the small town of Hub, Mississippi. The boy was in the company of William Cantwell Walters, a traveling handyman known to move from place to place, plying his trade. Walters, a man of modest means and itinerant lifestyle, claimed that the boy was not Bobby Dunbar, but rather Charles Bruce Anderson, the son of a woman named Julia Anderson. Walters insisted he was merely caring for the boy with Julie's permission, but suspicions were high. The news of the boy's discovery spread like wildfire. The Dunbars were notified and soon made the journey to Mississippi. The moment they saw the child, emotions surged. Lessie Dunbar, overcome with relief and joy, proclaimed the boy to be her son, Bobby. But the story did not end there. Julie Anderson, a young woman with a hard life, soon arrived on the scene. She claimed that the boy was indeed her son, Bruce, and that she had entrusted him to Walters while she sought work to provide a better life for them. A battle of identities ensued, with both women passionately asserting their claim. Lessie Dunbar, backed by her husband Percy, stood firm that this boy was their Bobby, the son they had lost and found. Julie Anderson, with tears in her eyes, insisted he was her Bruce, the child she had born and loved. The case went to court, drawing intense public interest. The courtroom was packed with spectators, each witness recounting their version of the truth. Doctors examined the boy for identifiable marks, and testimonies were given from those who had seen Bobby before his disappearance. Public perception also was against Julie in this case, with multiple stories stating that she was a bad mom, she was a prostitute, she was just a horrible person. In the end, the court ruled in favor of the Dunbars, and the boy was officially declared to be Bobby Dunbar. He was taken back to Opelousas, where the town celebrated his return. For the Dunbars, it seemed like a miracle had occurred. Their lost son was home, and their family was whole again. But for Julie Anderson, the verdict was a devastating blow. She returned home, heartbroken and alone, her cries of injustice echoing through the years. The boy, now known as Bobby Dunbar, began a new life with the Dunbars. But questions lingered in the shadows, waiting for the day when the truth would be finally revealed. So, it is worth noting that Walters obviously tried very hard to convince him that was actually not Bobby Dunbar, to convince him that it was Charles Anderson.
Right.
In fact, he was sentenced and convicted. He ended up getting released on appeal, which still sucks.
It does.
And now the other thing is, some people are probably saying, why didn't the boy say that he was Charles Anderson instead of Bobby Dunbar? And the simple answer is, he was given stuff that he wouldn't be able to get otherwise. For instance, he got a pony.
He was bribed.
Yeah, basically. And obviously, you give a child a pony and then everything that they possibly could want. You got this whole town who is basically showering you with gifts.
And when you're a kid, you don't see the detriment of your actions at that point. You're a kid.
And you got to understand, he was 4 years old at this time.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, cool. I'm getting all this cool stuff. This is awesome.
Yeah. Reporters at the time were trying to sway public perception in the favor of the Dunbars, releasing several articles talking about the mom.
The first thing that they want to rub in her face, the second that they want to be like, oh, this can't possibly be your child. Look at how terrible of a mother that you are.
Yeah. I think one of the titles, Julie Anderson, the worst mother in America.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how horrible that would be?
Yeah. Not only do you lose your son, but then you've got to deal with that. The father wasn't in the picture. So obviously she must have been a prostitute, because that's the only thing that makes sense in 1912. But the fact that they put this woman through all this crap, and I'm not even to the part that really was going to piss a lot of people off. So stay tuned for that.
So excited about it.
So let's go back. Let's start with the reunion and when doubts start to occur for people. After 8 long months of searching, hoping, and praying, the day had finally come. The Dunbars arrived in Mississippi with a mix of anticipation and anxiety. When they saw their boy, their hearts leaped with a mixture of joy and doubt. Was this really their boy? Leslie Dunbar, her face etched with worry and longing, approached the child. She hesitated for a moment, her eyes scanning his features, searching for familiar signs of her son. Bobby had a distinctive mole on his toe and a scar from a burn on his foot. Leslie found these marks and, overwhelmed with emotion, declared that this was indeed her son. Percy Dunbar, standing beside his wife, felt a wave of relief wash over him. They had found their Bobby. The boy, confused and overwhelmed, clung to Leslie, and the scene was one of tearful reunions and heartfelt joy. The community, along with the reporters who had gathered, witnessed this poignant moment. But the joy was soon overshadowed by doubt. Julie Anderson, a woman of modest means and great resolve, arrived to claim the boy as her son, Bruce. She insisted that the child was hers and that she had entrusted him to William Walters during the time of hardship. Julia's pleas added a layer of complexity to an already emotional situation. She described Bruce's birthmarks, his habits, and his favorite toys. Each detail painted a picture of a mother's deep bond with her child. The townspeople in the nation were now divided, their hearts torn between two grieving mothers. With two mothers claiming the same child, the case was inevitably brought to court. The trial became a national spectacle, with newspapers dubbing it the Battle of the Mothers. The courtroom was filled with spectators eager to see the drama unfold. The legal proceedings were intense and emotionally charged. Witnesses were called to testify, including friends, neighbors, and medical experts. Leslie Dunbar recounted the day Bobby disappeared, her voice breaking with emotion. Julie Anderson, equally resolute, described her struggle and the love she bore for her son, Bruce.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
The boy was examined by doctors for identifying marks, but the findings were inconclusive. Each mother presented compelling arguments, and the courtroom is often filled with tears and tension. Ultimately, the court sided with the Dunbars, ruling that the boy was indeed Bobby Dunbar. The decision was based on the physical evidence of the mole and the scar, and on the emotional connection Leslie demonstrated. The boy, now officially recognized as Bobby Dunbar, was returned to Opelousas with the Dunbar family. The town of Opelousas erupted in celebration, banners were hung, a parade was held, and the return of Bobby Dunbar was hailed as a miracle. For the Dunbars, life seemed to be returning to a semblance of normalcy. They welcomed their son back with open arms, determined to put the past behind them. But for Julia Anderson, the court's decision was a devastating blow. She returned home, heartbroken and resolute in her belief that the court had made a grave mistake. The pain of losing her son, Bruce, was a wound that would never fully heal. Despite the court's ruling, doubts lingered. The community couldn't shake the uneasy feeling that something wasn't right. Questions about the boy's true identity would persist for years, casting a long shadow over the joyous reunion. So, obviously, that's just more in depth, but same thing applies. This woman got screwed. It's tragic in many ways.
It really is. Because, like, is there really a way that we can just look at a child and be like, yep, for sure, that's who you are? I don't know. I get it. Nowadays, we can use DNA. Obviously, we couldn't have done that back then.
No. And that's one thing that needs to be noted, is that this trial took place near their hometown. So, obviously, they had more of a stake for saying that it was Bobby Dunbar than not, because it closed their case for him. Not saying that's why they did it, but that's what it seemed like, honestly. But either way, it's tragic, and I could not even imagine what this mom went through to lose her son like that, and then ultimately get kidnapped by the state.
Yeah. Just have someone be like, your child is not who we've decided that you say that he is. Thanks.
Yeah. So let's go to where the mystery deepens. The boy, now officially known as Bobby Dunbar, was welcomed back to Opelousas with open arms. Life resumed its rhythm, and the Dunbars did their best to return to normalcy. Bobby attended school, played with friends, and grew into a young man under the watchful eyes of the community. The shadow of his disappearance gradually faded, but for some, the unease never quite vanished. As Bobby grew up, he seemed to thrive. He excelled in school, made friends, and participated in community activities. To everyone around him, he was a typical boy living a typical life. Yet underneath the surface, the whispers of doubt remained. The questions about his true identity lingered in the minds of those who had followed the case so closely. Meanwhile, Julia Anderson never stopped claiming that the boy living as Bobby Dunbar was in fact her son Bruce. Despite this court's decision, she held steadfast to her belief, telling everyone who would listen that her son had been taken from her. Her claims were often dismissed, but they planted seeds of doubt that would grow over time. Julia's continued assertions, combined with the occasional rumors and speculations, kept the mystery alive. Even as Bobby Dunbar became a man, got married, and started a family of his own, the question of his true identity remained an unspoken presence in his life. Decades passed, and the story of Bobby Dunbar became a part of local legend. But in the age of modern technology, new tools emerged that could potentially lay the mystery to rest once and for all. DNA testing. A revolutionary scientific advancement offered a way to definitively determine the boy's identity. In the early 2000s, the Dunbar family decided to use this modern technology to uncover the truth. Bobby's granddaughter, Margaret Dunbar Cutright, was particularly driven to understand the family's past. She spearheaded the effort to obtain DNA samples from her father, who is believed to be Bobby Dunbar's son, and compare them to the DNA of Alonzo Dunbar, Bobby's younger brother. The results were anxiously awaited as they held the potential to resolve a mystery that had spanned generations. When the results finally came in, they were shocking. The DNA test revealed that the boy who had lived his life as Bobby Dunbar was not biologically related to the Dunbar family. The boy was in fact Bruce Anderson, the son of Julie Anderson. The test confirmed and what Julie had known all along. Her son had been taken from her and lived his life under another name with another family. The revelation was both heartbreaking and illuminating. It validated Julie Anderson's decades-long struggle for the truth and shattered the narrative that had been built around Bobby Dunbar's return. For the Dunbar family, the discovery was a complex mix of sorrow, relief, and profound reflection. Margaret Dunbar Cutright, in recovering the truth, also found a clear understanding of her family's history and the impact of their decisions. The story of Bobby Dunbar, now known to be Bruce Anderson, took a new dimension, one that highlighted the resilience of both families and the enduring quest for truth.
We called it. I'm just saying. First of all, how do you not know that's not your freaking son?
I think that kind of goes back to what we said on the Walter Collins thing. At first, I think they just wanted it to be their son.
I mean, yes and no, but after so long, you can't just ignore that motherly instinct. At least I wouldn't think you could.
No, but you gotta understand, she fought for this during the trial and everything. So at that point, you don't really want to admit that you were wrong. And I don't think she wanted to explore the consequences of if she was wrong. If she was wrong, what actually happened to Bobby? That's probably something that was just too harmful for her to even think about. Obviously, Julie Anderson is the biggest victim in this whole thing.
Oh, 100%. Obviously, there was Bruce and or Bobby. Same person, two names. But he ended up living a good life. Obviously, he was taken away from his mother.
But at a young age.
Exactly. He was young. He overcame that. He ended up living a really great life. And he ended up growing up and having kids of his own. He ended up being okay. But his mom, his biological mom, his real mom, she suffered like crazy. Like, she knew. She was like, no, y'all took my kid. I know y'all took my kid.
Yeah. And obviously, by the time they figured this out, that both sets of parents were already dead. So it's not like they could get relief in that. And the parents never actually fully knew. I'm sure they knew, they just didn't admit it. But it was a horrible situation that really sucks that it took like 88 years to resolve. And it didn't even fully resolve everything. All it really did was prove that who we thought was Bobby Dunbar, it was actually Bruce Anderson.
We still have no idea what actually happened to the real Bobby Dunbar, which I'm still going with Gators.
Yeah, and that is the most likely explanation. But let's get into the aftermath a little bit. The truth, once revealed, brought with it a wave of emotions through both the Dunbar and Anderson families. For the Dunbars, the revelation that their beloved Bobby was actually Bruce Anderson was a profound shock. The family, which had lived with the certainty of Bobby's identity for decades, now faced the reality that their son was not who they believed him to be. Margaret Dunbar Cutright, who had spearheaded the DNA testing, felt a mix of sorrow and relief. Sorrow for the pain the revelation caused her family, and the relief that the truth had finally come to light. She reflected on the implications of the discovery, grappling with the questions of identity and family bonds. For the Anderson family, the DNA results brought a bittersweet validation. Julia Anderson, who had died long before the truth came out, was vindicated. Her unwavering claim that the boy was her son, Bruce, was finally proven correct. For Julia's descendants, the revelation was a poignant confirmation of their family history and a testament to Julia's resilience and love. The impact of the Bobby Dunbar case extends far beyond the families involved. In Opelousas, the story remains a part of local lore, a reminder of the fragility of truth and the complexities of human life. The case also had broader implications for how child abductions were handled in the early 20th century. The legal battle over Bobby's identity highlighted the challenges of proving familiar bonds without modern technology. It underscored the importance of thorough investigations and the need for better procedures in child abduction cases. The case influenced legal reforms and inspired changes in how missing children cases were approached. Beyond the legal and procedural impacts, the story of Bobby Dunbar continues to capture public imagination. It has been the subject of books, documentaries, and countless articles, each exploring the mystery and its resolution. The tale resonates because it touches on the universal themes of identity loss and the enduring human quest for truth. Even today, more than a century after Bobby's disappearance, the story continues to be a powerful reminder of the importance of seeking the truth. It speaks to the resilience of the families, the power of maternal love, and the enduring impact of unresolved mysteries. Yeah, it did change some things, obviously. Unfortunately, way too late.
Just a little bit, very late.
And it really makes me wonder how many other cases like this have happened. How many kids were kidnapped or disappeared back then and were returned to family and then wasn't actually the right kid?
It makes you wonder, and it's like terrifying.
Yeah.
Because I know nowadays we have all these different DNA testing sites and things that people use, and it's unearthing so many different things. Like, hey, surprise, my uncle isn't actually related to us or whatever else.
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy to me that I'm going to give him a lot of slack here because obviously without DNA testing, it's super hard. But again, I don't think I could mistake someone else to be my daughter. I know my daughter so well that I really don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could either. Just saying, I don't think I could do it. And I don't think I could take that chance if I wasn't 100,000% sure. Just on the odd chance that I wasn't 100% sure. Okay, say this child, I don't know 100%. Maybe I'm 98%. There's that 2% chance that he or she belongs, obviously, to a complete other family. And that's exactly what happened in this case. Bruce had a mother. She might not have had the most solid life, but she obviously loved him to death.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what is, and I'm not going to sit here and bash the Dunbars because it was 8 months after their son disappeared.
At 5 years old, there's a lot of bodily changes happening in that time frame.
I can understand maybe, and then the hopefulness and the trauma that they went through losing their son. I can understand all of that, which I think ultimately this case kind of trickles down to being just horrible circumstances. But it's still just for Julie Anderson, especially the fact that she never got vindicated while she's still alive. It's just horrible and it sucks. Her family obviously got it now because obviously there's other members of the Anderson family that are still alive. And that's going to make things really like awkward. Because remember, the lady that spearheaded this was the granddaughter. So obviously her grandfather wasn't alive when this happened, but her father was. And he grew up as a Dunbar, and now he's got this revelation that he's not a Dunbar, he's an Anderson.
That's life-changing in a way, because what do you do at that point? There's not really anything that you can change. You are who you are.
No. And that's what they basically said, is they're not going to change their name or anything like that. But it just finally gets the truth out there, but it still sucks. As we bring our journey through the story of Bobby Dunbar to a close, let's take a moment to recap the key points in the emotional journey of the families involved. It began in Opelousas, Louisiana in 1912 with the disappearance of a little boy named Bobby Dunbar. His family's desperate search, the nation's involvement, and the eventual discovery of a child with the traveling handyman 8 months later seemed to offer a resolution. The Dunbars believed they had found their son, and he returned to a life filled with love and normalcy. Yet Julia Anderson's unwavering claim that the boy was her son, Bruce, cast a shadow over the joyous reunion. Decades later, the truth was finally unveiled. Through the power of modern DNA testing, the boy who lived as Bobby Dunbar was indeed Bruce Anderson. The revelation brought validation to Julia Anderson's story and a mix of emotions for the Dunbar family. It was a tale of mistaken identity, maternal love, and the relentless pursuit of truth that spanned generations. The story of Bobby Dunbar or Bruce Anderson is more than a historical mystery. It's a profound exploration of identity, family, and the quest for truth. It challenges us to think about what defines a family. Is it biology, love, or shared experiences? The Dunbars loved the boy they believed was Bobby, and that love was real, even if the circumstances were not as they seemed. Julie Anderson's story is a testament to a mother's love and her unwavering belief in the truth. Despite being dismissed and overlooked, her determination ensured that her son's true identity was eventually recognized. Her struggle and resilience remind us of the importance of seeking the truth, no matter how difficult the journey may be. As we reflect on this story, we are reminded of the complexities of human relationships and the enduring impact of our choices. The quest for truth is not always straightforward, but it is a journey worth taking. It teaches us about ourselves, our family, and the bonds that hold us together. If you have any thoughts or stories to share, please reach out to us on our social media channels. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check out our links in the description below.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.